You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy today to be joined by Graham Matthews, who is a member of Socialist Alliance, a regular contributor to Green Left, and is also a disability rights advocate. And so we have Graham on here to talk very much about the role of the RBA, inflation, and the cost of living crisis. So welcome to the show, Graham.
Thanks, Jacob.
Hi, Graham. It's Sue here. I'm just asking some of the questions this morning. I was wondering if you could talk a bit about what's the cause of this current cost of living crisis. Is it people spending too much? Is it companies just deciding to whack up their prices just because they can do so and blame it on inflation?
It's an interesting question. I guess from my point of view, a cost of living crisis really has two factors to it. So obviously there's the rising prices, but there's also wages stagnating and really not keeping up. And that's been a consistent feature of the Australian economy for certainly the last 10 years and possibly longer. Possibly we could track it back to the global financial crisis of 2008. But I'm sure that most of your listeners would agree that wages really haven't been exactly keeping up with prices for the last 10 years or more. And that's certainly been led by government actions, such as, for instance, the wage cap for public sector workers that we've seen in New South Wales and other states. In New South Wales, for instance, over the last 10 years, wage increases have been pegged to no more than 2 or 2.5%, which has ensured that wages have been flatlining. Now, the other part of the crisis really has been the rising prices, and that was given an enormous kick during the pandemic. We saw some major issues with supply chains, which caused prices to rise. Certainly, there was quite a lot of media talk about the problems with China, for instance, and the supply lines, and the fact that in this globalised economy, that so much of the international production of goods now occurs in China. So when we had problems with those supply chains, that inevitably forced prices up. We've also saw the totally unjust war, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which for a period there caused commodity prices, particularly oil and gas, to spike significantly. And I say for a period because, interestingly, anybody who follows the news of an evening will see that oil prices, after peaking significantly last year, have actually crashed down to far lower levels. Not that you'd know it from the cost of fuel at the pump, which still reaches well over $2 in many cases. So there are, I suppose, these structural aspects to the cost of living crisis, you know, particularly in terms of prices. But I think it's also significant, and certainly a number of progressive economists have raised this, that particularly monopolistic industries like the gas industry, like the oil industry, the electricity industry, which has been largely privatised in Australia, have taken, as you say, have taken advantage of this situation by and have increased prices more than they otherwise could have or should have. We've also seen it. There's been evidence within the supermarket sector where prices have increased well beyond the cost of production or indeed the cost that they pay. So we have seen that sections of the corporate empires that own much of the wealth in this country have taken advantage of this situation to elevate prices, and that's certainly not an insignificant part, possibly quite a large part of why the inflation has persisted for so long.
Mm. And drawing, I guess, from your article in Green Left, inflation, wages and cosmetic changes at the RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia is committed to maintaining unemployment at the non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, which is around 4.5%. And I guess, what is your... can you kind of expand on this kind of point?
Isn't that cute? You know, they've come up with this arbitrary figure of 4.5%. And it's very interesting for anybody who, any of your listeners who might be acquainted with some Marxist economics. There's an idea within Marxist economics referred to as the reserve army of labour, which talks about the unemployed. And the more unemployed you have, inevitably the more competition there is on those in work. It places a certain suppression, let's say, on a working person's willingness or ability to demand higher wages. So from the RBA's point of view, the RBA, I'd even go so far as to say, fetishises the role of wages in the creation of inflation as opposed to price setting, particularly by monopoly industry. On that basis, they claim that if unemployment is below 4.5%, and your listeners would know that it's currently at around 3.5%, then that's putting pressure on inflation because it effectively gives workers too much power to be able to demand decent wages. Now, we haven't seen the situation that workers have been able to push for decent wages. There has been a slight uptick in the nominal wage increases that workers have been receiving, but in almost all cases, this is still well below the rate of inflation. Certainly, I know at my workplace, we received a 4.5% increase negotiated by our union in July, but that's still well below the 6% that inflation's running. So, this idea propagated by the RBA and conservative economists, and certainly the RBA is an exponent of conservative economic theories, is really anti-worker in its concept and in its application, and it's something which working people should thoroughly reject.
Graham, I was wondering if you could comment on this. I think it's fiction, but this whole issue of so-called Reserve Bank independence and the fact that governments get away with hiding behind the so-called independence. I was just wondering if you could comment on that whole issue where the government's saying, oh, don't blame us. It's the Reserve Bank that's independent.
And they really do, don't they? I mean, you only have to listen to Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers and whenever the Reserve Bank raises interest rates, it's almost like it was a natural catastrophe or indeed an asteroid falling from the space, you know, into the earth. I mean, it's as though there's nothing the government can do. Now, this has been an idea which was first introduced by the Howard government when it came to power in 1996, and it signed an agreement on monetary policy with the Reserve Bank, which formally gave the Reserve Bank independence. There are, and in fact, the Greens have, the Australian Greens have made this clear. There are provisions within the Reserve Bank of Australia Act where the government can overrule the Reserve Bank's interest rate decisions in the national interest, but the government refuses to do so. So, I mean, this sense of independence really is just independence from elected government, which makes them unaccountable to you and I, but at the same time, the composition of the Reserve Bank, the fact that nobody on there is doing it tough, everybody on there is either a multimillionaire or certainly tied to some of the key institutions of capital in this country, and really it's independent, let's say, of elected government. But it's extremely responsive to, one might say, some of the biggest corporations, Fortescue Metals, for instance, Wesfarmers,
Wesfarmers.
A number of these so-called independent members of the Reserve Bank are also directors of some of these companies. And it is an absolute fiction, and it's something which, again, that working people should really demand. And kudos to the Greens for saying this, that the government intervenes on behalf of working people and really sets the record straight.
And given that the government obviously just changed the governor, changed the governor of the RBA. I guess, what do you think are actually, you know, they're sort of going on a bit, the media's sort of going on a bit, that this might make a big difference because, you know, everyone didn't like Philip Lowy. What do you kind of think should be the actual things that should be happening in terms of policy to kind of address this cost of living crisis?
That's a good question, and it's one that a lot of both unions and also progressive economists have spent a lot of time thinking about, and we've been trying to reflect that, I think, within the pages of Green Left Weekly. To my mind, one of the most exciting developments has been the call from the construction union for a tax on super profits. As we've discussed, one of the key features of this cost of living crisis is the fact that these monopolistic industries, particularly within the power and resources sector, have been able to pretty much set their own prices and have, under the cover of this so-called inflation crisis, have been able to really jack up prices significantly. I think, for instance, most people, and everybody does have an electricity account, we're all forced to, but have seen prices for electricity increase by 30% or more at the middle of this year. We've also seen, for instance, gas prices increase significantly, even though there's no shortage or there's no immediate shortage of gas being pumped out of wells and so forth, offshore wells, whatever, within Australia. So they're calling, the CFMMEU are calling for a tax on super profits, and I believe they're taking that to the Labor Party conference later this month, which is a positive step. There's also one of the other issues, and certainly Richard Dennis, who's the CEO of the Australia Institute, which is a progressive think tank, is also raising the question of the Stage 3 tax cut, which will give huge tax cuts to those on over $200,000 a year. Now, and he says, shouldn't the RBA thinking, well, isn't this potentially inflation driving, putting money into the hands of people who are only likely to spend it on more expensive items, certainly not people who are doing it tough. Isn't that something which should be looked at? The federal government did take some very, 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 very small steps to try to mediate the cost of living crisis. Certainly those who are on benefits are able to access, at least a $500 rebate on their electricity, which is a small step. It's not enough, and it's certainly something more that the Australian government should be looking at, not least of all the fact that the majority of people who do receive benefits, so subsidies of some sort, whether it's the unemployment benefit, the pension or any of the other, parental payment and so forth, are living under the poverty line. And in 21st century Australia, this is completely unacceptable. And the government really needs to find a way to be able to radically increase the rate of benefits for people who generally, for no fault of their own, find themselves in the position of being unemployed.
Graham, I was wondering if you have anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up the interview, but also I was wondering if you could comment on some ideas which have been raised, such as freezing and even rescinding some of the mortgage interest rates and price controls on groceries and essential services. there started to be a few people calling for those things as well.
Yeah, certainly. Look, in terms of interest rate hikes, and again, I understand that the Greens have been calling for that, and I'm fully in support of that. I think that's a very good call. The whole process of this tackling inflation by raising interest rates really attacks, you know, around about one third of the working population in Australia, if we, in particular, or possibly two thirds if we include renters. But there's a further third of people who own their own homes and don't have a mortgage. And certainly, when interest rates increase, they're laughing all the way to the bank in the sense of there's no impact on their cost of living. So it really is being particularly foisted upon younger people who might be first-time buyers, generally struggling with extremely high cost of housing, but also renters who are feeling the pinch with increasing costs for landlords. They're jacking up rents faster than they could possibly do so as well. So I do support that being seriously looked at, and in fact calls for to reverse a number of those interest rate cuts. And certainly I think the potential for price fixing, I mean, it can be useful in certain circumstances. I don't think it's a solution in and of itself. I think the idea of placing a tax, which and really redistributing that wealth from super profits, you know, using that, for instance, to using the revenue from a super profits tax to really assist those in dire need, I think is perhaps the most innovative solution that I've heard. But I'm certain that you know, price caps on basic essential is, and again, that really involves attacking the monopolistic power of the Colesworth in this society. I'd also support that.
Graham, do you have like any? I think we'll conclude this interview now. But do you have any final comments that you'd like to make?
There is the Raise the Rate campaign. I did mention the fact that those on Centrelink benefits are struggling, and it really is important that the rate, particularly for those on JobSeeker, is increased to something reasonable. And I understand that there is a national protest happening on the 9th of August for Welfare Not Warfare, which is a really important campaign, and I'd encourage your listeners to get behind it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Graham, for this. I think this has been a very good and important political discussion to have.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and best of luck.
Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Graham. All right. We're just speaking to Graham Matthews, member of Socialist Alliance and regular contributor to Green Left, where we're discussing the whole cost of living crisis, the questions around inflation, and also the role of the RBA. I'll go play a quick announcement. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM.